Hey everybody, welcome back. It's Brett here with another episode of Shooting From The Circle, where I go around and I follow the Rumbalara Football Netball Club's A-grade side in their 2024 endeavours to play finals again. So yesterday they came up against the Tuke United. Tuke United, they're coached by Tan Edwards, come from Shep, had a skills honed by Tracy Burton at Shep. Is an original premiership player at the Tuke United. So she's come back, decided to give coaching a go. We knew they were going to be competitive. We knew that they were going to want to come out. They had a point to prove. They had a draw against Cobram last week. The week before, they shot 31 or 32 goals against Tongola. They got absolutely smashed against Moama first game, but have slowly improved. Rumbalara, they've had, you know, three and zip they were, so they've had three wins, one good win against Yumurka. They come up against Moama and very hard fought game, and then last week against Kangapna, again very hard fought game, but they come away with the chocolates. One of the things that Rumbalara identified after last week's game was that they were just too slow off the mark. You know, first center pass of the game, they needed to be on. They needed to be able to connect ASAP, because they were letting opposition sides be in front up until about halfway through the first quarter, and then they have to peel it back. And it was starting to play a toll on them. So, yeah, they showed intention in their warm-ups, and they come out, and I think they scored the first four or five goals, and they're on song. And then I don't know what happened, whether it was you could probably, you could say it was a Tuke United's game or the way they played or whatever, but all of a sudden, the fundamentals in this just the skill errors on both sides. Yeah, they were missing passes. Passes were going over girls' heads. They were going behind them instead of to where they wanted them to go. They were landing at their feet. They were passing into the shooting circle. Both sides, mind you, both sides. Passing into the shooting circle, and they were just missing targets. Absolute missing targets. It was so sloppy. I will be brutally honest, and you would think that these two sides were sitting on the bottom of the ladder the way that first quarter was played. It was, it wasn't pretty to watch. It was not pretty to watch. So Rumbalara, had a little bit of an injury with Tiana Steele before the game. So she had her thigh all taped up. Not sure what was going on there. Medica, she wasn't there. She wasn't playing. Guy Bamlett wasn't playing. So they had DeJora from the under-17s pop up, and they had Mariah, who played B grade. So she played a full game of B grade in midcourt and stepped up and was on the bench. So you had Lani in wing defense, Sarah wing attack, Emily center, the shooting circle of Soph and Jesse Barnes, and then Jess Bamlett and Chandler Steele in the defensive circle. And as I said, that at first quarter was, it wasn't pretty to watch. It was mistake after mistake. I suppose it was probably lucky because, the quality of the shooting circle of Rumbalara, and I've said it every single game that, they got them over the line, that they were really, it was, they, if it wasn't for their shooting, it'd be a closer game. Like at the end of their first quarter, you're looking at the score was 14 Rumbalara, 5 Tuke United. Now you start thinking, okay, defense for Rumbalara was on. There was a lot of intercepts, a lot of taps. One thing that also was, and it's funny, I don't know whether, I mentioned it in my last podcast about the fundamentals of umpiring, and holding the ball was one of them, 3 seconds. And that first quarter, they were hot. They were hot. And what impressed me the most about the two umpires at the start, I will say at the start, what impressed me the most was they were even penalising shooters for 3 second violation. Like the defense of Rumbalara on the midcourt and attacking end for Echuca United was sublime. Like, they had them holding the ball so many times because they just – and what I did notice too is there was a lot of chat. A lot of chat in that Rumbelaar defensive circle. So, Jessie Bamblett, she is just – she's the general down there. Her and Tiana, they click. And you can hear where she wanted Tiana to stand and Tiana would tell her where she wanted to stand. And I honestly thought it confused the midcourt and those shooters coming through. I really thought it seemed to me that they were confused. They were just didn't know what was going on. And, yeah, it would – yeah, I think they were confused on where to put the ball, who to put the ball to, because all they could hear was Jess Bamblett and Tiana Steele just talking and coaching and directing the traffic. So directing your wing defense and directing your center. I honestly think that Echuca United were, I think they were lost. They just didn't know where to go. And as I said, the amount of held balls that they got against them, their shooters, they just could not, you know, they were faking a shot. And Tiana, you know, as I said, she had a thigh injury and she was just still, you know, presenting in that defensive position and just the quickness and the reflexes of Jess Bamblett in that first, the whole game, to be honest, but that first quarter, they just had no idea. So, as I said, end of the first quarter, a lot of pressure, a lot of hell ball calls, and a lot of mistakes. It had everything. So, yeah, quarter time score was 14-5, so 9 goals up for Rumbelaar. So, they went into their huddles, not really knowing what to expect. I think Echuca United were thinking, okay, we're 9 goals down, but, you know, we're hanging on. I think they were still up and about. It was a hell of a lot better quarter in the fact with Rumbelaar that they were in front all quarter and they were able to capitalize on that being in front. So, second quarter come out, still the same side. So you had Tiana and Jess in defensive, Lani in wing defense, Emily and Sarah just sort of switched around, and then you had Jesse Barnes and Soph in that shooting circle. Second quarter come, and it was a totally different Rumbelaar side. They came out, and they meant business. They come out with intensity. They were hot, Jess Barnes was, she was directing traffic in that shooting circle. I've said it before, but poor old Soph, you know, she plays a second fiddle to her, but Soph plays her role. And I started watching the way Soph was playing, and she knows that Jesse Barnes is going to demand that ball. So she plays a role as a decoy. She will come out or she will, you know, the defenders are just not sure what to do. So they were, you know, obviously Jesse Barnes got a name for herself. So they, you know, they double team her. Yeah, they'll double team her, but it leaves Sophie out. So and then Soph was shooting and she was on song. Like, she was shooting them from anywhere. Their midcourt slowly started to get on top. They're starting to work the ball around. And credit to Tana Edwards, you know, she's out there directing the traffic for a very, you know, for a young and experienced Echuca United, and she's directing the traffic, and she's playing hard out as a goal attack. Her and Tiana Steele had a very, very good good match together. They sort of, there was a few things going on. I mean, yeah, there's always niggles and everything else, and as I said, Jessie Bamblett in goalkeeper, she just just her reflexes to be able to smack that ball, and she hangs on to that ball. So the second quarter was all Rumbelaar. You know, they shot, 18 goals to What's that? That's 7. So 18-7 in that second quarter. So half time, it was 32-12. Already 20 goals up. And that's what Rumbelaar wanted. They wanted to be able to be in front right from the start and then capitalize on it. So there was a few changes made at halftime. So third quarter, Mariah come on to a wing defense. So Lani come off. And then halfway through the third quarter, I think Jess, she was having a bit of a cramp. She come off. I know Tiana come off. So there was a lot of switching around. So Jora come on. She played a goal defense. And, she was probably a little bit lost. So Jess come off first, and she was a little bit lost. And then, as I said, with Tiana's injury, she sort of was feeling it a bit. So with the rolling subs, she come off as well, and Jess come back on. So Tiana just had to have a bit of a break. Emily and Sarah were sort of working together. The thing is that Soph and Jesse Barnes have never come off and had that rolling sub, but it happened yesterday in the last quarter where Soph come off, and Emily, who actually plays a goal attack in Melbourne, she came on and was shot brilliantly. So that third quarter, there was a lot of swapping and changing. Tricky United did a lot of swapping and changing. One thing I did notice, though, and I said at the start that I was very pleased with the umpires, the way they umpired the game in the first quarter. It was like all of a sudden the whistle was put away. There was times there where both sides got crucified by a whistle not being blown. And it sort of, it didn't affect the game all that much, but you could see some of the players were starting to get frustrated again because there was some calls not being done, and then there was calls that shouldn't have been done. And but in that third quarter, and I heard after the game, and Tiana Steele said it in a couple of hours, that third quarter should never have happened. And what they meant by that was Achuki and Ida came out with intent. They came out, and like, as I said, Jesse Bamblett was starting to cramp. Tiana with her thigh, she was sort of feeling it. And Tiana Steele said after the game that they probably should have swapped a bit earlier. They should have did, because in that third quarter, Achuki and Ida shot 10 goals. To Rumbelaar's 12. Okay, Rumbelaar has still won the quarter, but it was nearly even. And the feeling after the game was that third quarter could have been pinnacle. Yeah, the defense of Rumbelaar, they pride themselves in being tight defense. They pride themselves in picking things off. And they thought at the start, especially after that first quarter, they only let them have 5 goals. Half time, they only had 12. And they were like, let's keep them to a bare minimum. But they come out. Tricky and I had a little bit more run. And as I said, those sort of injuries sort of affected Rumbelaar. And then when you start swapping and changing defensive ends and that, and you haven't worked with that person in training, whatever, it's sort of, you can tell. You can tell that the Jura, she came on as goal defense and she was a bit lost. And Tiana went back in the goalkeeper, and the shooters for Chucky and Ida were starting to get on top a bit. They were getting easy goals. I wouldn't say they were free goals, but they were getting easy goals. Coming into the three quarter time, and the score was 44-22. So 12 goals to 10. Rumbelaar still won that quarter. Obviously, they didn't like what happened in that third quarter, the way they were able to, Chicken and Ida were able to score freely. They wanted to really lock them down. Third quarter, last quarter come out, and Mariah went into wing attack, to draw a wing defense. I think it was Emily, Emily went to goal attack, and Sarah was in center. So Soph had most of that quarter off. They're probably thinking, well, we've got the game won. Let's see how we go. Come out and Yeah, it was a warm day as well, and you can start to see the fatigue. And I think Rumbelaar got the bye next week, and I think it's come at a good time for them because, yeah, there was a couple of girls sore. Yeah, they've had four games where they've had to travel. Yeah, you've got girls from Melbourne, and, you can say, oh, well, you know, they wanted to play, and they're from Melbourne, you know, deal with it. But, you know, when you're away for four games and you're not in your home ground and – and you're driving a lot and everything else. You've got these girls from Echuca United that they live in Echuca, so they just hop, step, and jump down the road. And you've got Rumbelaar that's had to travel 4 weeks in a row. So I think the bye next week has come at a good time for them. And you can tell in that last quarter there was a little bit of fatigue. But what was really impressive with Rumbelaar is they made mistakes in that, and they sort of peeled themselves back, realized what they had to do, and fixed it. And their last quarter was massive. Defensive wise, midfield wise, shooting wise. I mean, they shot 22 goals in the last quarter to Echuca United's 10. Doubled them. They really put the brakes on Echuca United. Good sides are going to score. It don't matter how good you've got your defense. Good sides are still going to score. And, Echuca United, we're going to score. How much. So credit to Rumbelaar. They really, knuckled down, identified it at three-quarter time and said, look, this is what we need to do. We need to really knuckle down now. We want to come away with a 4-0. And Echuca United, they weren't going to give up. They weren't not going to give up. They were tenacious. They were fierce. They started playing a bit of body on body. And as I said, there was a really, really good contest against Tanner Edwards and Tiana. Tanner Edwards is a little bit younger than Tiana. So there was a really, really good contest. But the shooters again, like Jessie Barnes, really just demands that ball. She really wants that ball. She wants to shoot that ball. And her and Sarah, her and Emily, sorry, they work really, really well in that circle. Considering that's not their position. It's not Emily's position. She's a mid-court. They work really, really well. And it sort of threw Echuca United's defense a bit to have this new shooter in, or she played goal attack. But Rumbelaar, they got their press going, they got their defensive pressure going, and they really, really nullified that drive that Echuca United had in the third quarter. Now, Echuca United would have went into three-quarter time and went, mate, we've got this. We are a bit behind, but we're playing good netball. They're only two goals. Rumbelaar are only two goals better than them in that third quarter. So they would have come onto that quarter in the fourth quarter and went, right, this is what we need to do, blah, blah, blah. But, as I said, cream rises to the top, and Rumbelaar, they just, put the foot down, and 22 goals to 10 in that last quarter, doubled their score in their scoring shots. And I was interesting to know that on their conversion from turnovers, I think Rumbelaar was sitting at about 65, and I heard Sofax say, oh, we could do better. So they know what they need to do. So obviously that's a big thing, is conversion from turnovers. So what you don't want, and defenders don't want it, is them to bust their ass to try and get that ball and not get them to score, and then all of a sudden they get an intercept or whatever, and it doesn't happen down the other end. The conversion, they don't shoot a goal on that, and then all of a sudden it comes back. So, sitting on about 62% from turnovers, they identified that and realized that, we need to really fix that. We need to be a lot more proactive in those conversions from intercepts and all that sort of stuff. They need to, from turnovers, they need to be able to convert. You don't get second chances against strong sides, so you need to convert everything you get. You need to make sure as a shooter you convert from turnovers. Turnovers are your bread and butter. Turnovers is what you can get your one in goal in front, two goals in front, three goals, four goals, whatever. It's turnovers, because otherwise it'd be just a goal for goal, center pass, goal, center pass, goal. It's those turnovers. It's that working hard in that midcourt and that defensive end to have reward, you know, to work hard for reward. So they identified that, you know, 62% or 63% is just not good enough. So they'll work on that. So, yeah, as I said, final score was 64 to Rumbalara, 32 to Echiki United. So that's a 32-goal win for Rumbalara. So another big win from them. They got a bye next week, so they go into the bye 4-0. But their first game after the bye is against Denny, so that is going to be a massive, massive game. You know, I said that Moama game was going to be a cracker. This game is going to be another one. The following week after that, they play Tony. So this will show where Rumbalara is. You know, and it's still early in the season. Yeah, you say, oh, it's four games in, but it's still early in the season. So there's still things you can work out, and it's probably good that you play these sides that you know you're going to come up against in finals if you play them early, because if you do lose, you can look at it and identify where the problem is. If you only play them once and it's the second last game before finals, yeah, you've got no hope, because there's no second chance in finals if you're in elimination or whatever. There's no second chance. So it's good that they can play these sides now. They can reflect on it. If they come away with the win, they know where they stand. But these next two games after the bye are going to be pinnacle for Rumbalara to know where they are. And I think it'll be pinnacle for Jess Bamlett and the rest of the leadership side, you know, to know where they are. Now, then, as I said last week, they're not going to have Madika. I think she comes back after the Tiny game. Problem is, Emily then goes. So I'm not sure when Nakai Bamlett will be back. So they really need that nucleus of a side. Now, not taken away from DeJura and the other one yesterday. They played a damn good game. They give them more exposure to A grade, and the two young girls, you know, I think they'll be rippers. It's just getting that exposure, but you need that nucleus. You need that your tier one girls on that court, and to be able to work together once you come into finals. So as I said, very entertaining game yesterday. It was first quarter, massive mistake. Second quarter, Rumbalara. Third quarter, I will say Echiki United, even though they lost a quarter by two goals. And then the last quarter, pretty much Rumbalara put the foot on the throat, foot on the accelerator, and took off. And they know they need that. They've got a well-earned break now. They've got the bye. I think they're taking it a little bit easy on their trainings. And then they'll be back in it next week. First game back, Denny, going to be an absolute cracking game. So that is it. I really appreciate you listening to this podcast. That I only do it for fun, and it's only my views. Yesterday, another win to Rumbalara. As I said, 64-32, 32-goal win in ideal conditions at Echiki United. That is me, Brett. I'm signing out. Thank you for listening. And next week, with the bye coming up, I'll just do a bit of a review on how I think they've gone over the last 4 weeks, how I think they'll go following the bye, and who they've got, and identify the teams that they need to beat, teams that they might look at and go, well, they were easy beats, but they're on that cusp. So I will do all that next week. But as I said, that's me. I'm Brett. I'm out. Have a great day. Have a great week. And thank you for listening. Bye.